The Devil Knows Best, a short story collection, an introduction. Okay, so here's the deal. You would like untold riches, power, fame, and flesh. I can give you that for the rest of your earthly life. But I would like a little something in return. Of course, nothing so coarse as to hamper your rampant greed for the rest of your life. No. Merely your soul for eternity. Is it a bargain? We both agree? Splendid. Let us begin. Greed and desire are all things in small measure that we sometimes pursue. But in the hands of authors such as Nathaniel Hawthorne, William Makepeace Thackeray, Anatole France, and others, the appetite for both is somewhat more ambitious.
The Devil in Manuscript by Nathaniel Hawthorne. On a bitter evening of December, I arrived by mail in a large town which was then the residence of an intimate friend, one of those gifted youths who cultivate poetry and belles lettres and call themselves students at law. My first business, after supper, was to visit him at the office of his distinguished instructor. As I have said, it was a bitter night, clear starlight, but cold as Nova Zembla, the shop windows along the street being frosted, so as almost to hide the lights, while the wheels of coaches thundered equally loud over frozen earth and pavements of stone. There was no snow, either on the ground or the roofs of the houses. The wind blew so violently that I had but to spread my cloak like a mainsail and scud along the street at the rate of 10 knots, greatly envied by other navigators who were beating slowly up with the gale right in their teeth. One of these I capsized, but was gone on the wings of the wind before he could even vociferate an oath. After this picture of an inclement night, behold us seated by a great blazing fire, which looked so comfortable and delicious that I felt inclined to lie down and roll among the hot coals. The usual furniture of a lawyer's office was around us, rows of volumes in sheepskin, and a multitude of writs, summonses, and other legal papers scattered over the desks and tables. But there were certain objects which seemed to intimate that we had little dread of the intrusion of clients, or of the learned counselor himself, who indeed was attending court in a distant town. A tall, decanter-shaped bottle stood on the table between two tumblers, and beside a pile of blotted manuscripts, altogether dissimilar to any law documents recognized in our courts. My friend, whom I shall call Oberon, it was a name of fancy and friendship between him and me, my friend Oberon looked at these papers with a peculiar expression of disquietude. "I do believe," he said soberly, "or at least I could believe, if I choose, that there is a devil in this pile of blotted papers. You have read them and know what I mean. That conception in which I endeavor to embody the character of a fiend, as represented in our traditions and the written records of witchcraft. Oh, I have a horror of what was created in my own brain, and shudder at the manuscripts in which I gave the dark idea a sort of material existence. Would they were out of my sight!" "And of mine, too," thought I. "You remember," continued Oberon, "how the hellish thing used to suck away the happiness of those who, by a simple concession that seemed almost innocent, subjected themselves to his power. Just so, my peace is gone, and all by these accursed manuscripts. Have you felt nothing of the same influence?" "Nothing," replied I, "unless the spell be hid in a desire to turn novelist after reading your delightful tales." "Novelist!" exclaimed Oberon.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?